strength and my shield, little Elena turns around and she goes, "Hey, Jill." I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "Look what I found." And she hands me this little book, and I open it, and it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." And it just, like, for some reason, when it was in the worship, it didn't really hit me, like, because I'd just been feeling overwhelmed, and I just thought it was so cool that God confirmed it. Like, no, I'm your strength, and I'm your shield. So I just wanted to read the whole verse, because I just thought maybe someone else needed to hear it. But the Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in him, and I am helped. And therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Psalm 28. So I just thought that was really cool.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so who's feeling overwhelmed? Who could use some strength? Maybe we should just pray about this for a minute. Why don't we do this? If you need prayer for strength, you need prayer for, if that's ministering to you, that idea of just him being your shield, your strength right now, and you just need that, would you just stand? And I want to pray for you where you're at. If you are feeling stuck in a rut and you're just feeling like kind of at the end of your rope and not sure where to turn, would you just stand? I want to pray for you as well. And if you're just needing that breakthrough, that direction, that guidance, sometimes we try and do things on our own and we can only go so far. And it's amazing. I don't know how many times God has taught me that if I would just surrender faster, he would show me the way. But that's part of the learning process that we go through in trusting the Lord and our journey of faith with him, is that we actually just learn to let go and say, "God, I can't do this. I've tried. I need you." And it's amazing how many times I've seen him all of a sudden, poof, breaks in, opens a door that was shut, provides in a way that we didn't think possible, shows us the answer we've been praying for. Like, those kind of things, brings healing. It's amazing. But we have to, in our heart, get to that place where we fully surrender and trust in him. Amen? And so, Lord, I just pray for each person that's standing. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. Lord, we're just trying to be obedient to what you're doing and saying this morning. We're trying to follow your lead. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray for each person who's weary, God, who's tired, who needs breakthrough, who's feeling overwhelmed, who's feeling lost or stuck in a rut or not sure where to go or how to get through what they're facing. Lord, I just pray that you would come, and I pray that you bring breakthrough and direction and provision. And Lord, we thank you that those who seek you with all of their heart will find you. And God, you are close, you're near to the brokenhearted. And so, God, I just pray that you come near to each one of these people. I pray that you bless them. I pray for strength. I pray for breakthrough. I pray that you would move in their lives. And I pray, Lord, that their hearts would be full of your peace and your presence and your love. I pray for a greater revelation of your love this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Thank you, worship team. I forgot one announcement earlier, and that is that this afternoon, out at my aunt and uncle, John and Gisela, or my cousin, Heidi and Cornelius, their place, they have apples that they would... are just inviting anyone who would like to come and pick. And they're asking for a $5 donation per bag to go to the food bank. And so if you're interested, you are all invited this afternoon. Bring bags. And I think Jill and I are going to go out around 3 o'clock. So if you're not sure how to get there or you'd like to follow us out, then I'll be here at 3 and you can follow us. So if you need directions, you can call me too and I can give you directions. But anyway, just so you're aware, we are all invited. Bring $5 a bag for food bank. I think it's a cool idea. I grew up eating those apples until my stomach hurts, and I'm a bit of an apple snob now when I go to the store and we have bought apples sometimes. I'm like, what is this? This isn't an apple. And so if you've never had good apples from an orchard, it's come try it. Amen. Well, I feel like God is on the move already this morning, and I trust speaking to your heart. And so this morning, I want to continue to up where I left off the last few weeks, talking about speaking in tongues, talking about the gifts, mainly speaking in tongues. That's just what I felt the Lord leading and directing me to camp on for a few weeks. And so if you haven't been here for the last few times I've spoken, look it up online. You can find it. It'll help bring context to what we're saying this morning. Did anybody do the homework and read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14 this week? Oh, awesome. Good for you guys. Good for you. Because it really helps when you're talking about this stuff to have a bigger picture of what's going on in those scriptures. And so I just encourage you, you know, there's so much confusion and things that have been spoken about the gifts. And it can, you know, if we don't base everything that we take out of the word, we can get really confused and really full of fear. And what happens is we just pull back. And God has given us these gifts to use to build his kingdom. And you know, it's not something that we should live in fear about or confusion. Amen? All right. So Acts chapter 1, I'm going to do a bit of a recap here, and then we'll just finish the last few things I had on I wanted to share about speaking in tongues today, or we'll see what happens. But Acts chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And in verse 8, he goes on to say that you will receive power to be my witnesses. All right? And so we see this invitation from Jesus to go and to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit after salvation, right? He wanted his disciples, his followers to be filled. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all filled, all of them, all 120 that were there waiting. And again, I believe it's a gift. It's a promise that's given to us. And he was talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we see several times in the book of Acts, and that's where the whole Pentecostal unique distinctive is that we see in Acts 2, in Acts 10, in Acts 19, that people were filled with the Holy Spirit and then began to speak in tongues. And that's simply why we pattern it like that, is because as we see in Scripture happening. We talked about the last few weeks, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So we can't do it on our own, but through the power of God, he's given us everything that we need to do that. And again, that is through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so we're called to partake or to fellowship in the divine nature. And so the Bible talks about how we become a new creation, right? We become children of God. And so he puts his DNA in us. And that's how we get to partake in the divine nature, which is amazing. Amen? But that is what we're invited to. And so we talked about the call in Scripture several times to speak in tongues, to use these gifts, the importance of how speaking in tongues can build ourselves up. Jude 1:20. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, and there's scriptures, there's invitation like this, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself or builds himself up, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And we spent some time talking about that, the difference in that we see in 1 Corinthians, what Paul is addressing, the public use of that gift. I just want to point out, too, that we, you know, speaking in tongues is one of the areas that we see the Bible say helps build ourselves up and talks about building the church and building one another. And again, you can read Romans 14, 19. It talks about the fellowship of other believers, building each other up. We're called to build one another in the body, all right? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it talks about feeding on the word as a form of growing and maturing and, again, building ourselves up, depending what version you read. It mentions that. And the idea is it's not that you have one and ignore the other. The idea is not that I only build myself up on the word, or I only build myself up by going to church, or I only build myself up by using the gifts like speaking in tongues, but it's that we have it all. The goal is that, again, I mentioned this before, that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature or favor with God and with man, right? And we're called to do the same. We're called to grow in our relationship with him. And these are the ways that God provides for us to do that. He gives us his word. Absolutely, like, we cannot ignore his word. There's no shortcut there. You need to eat the word in your life every day, okay? But he also gives us gifts, like speaking in tongues, that help build our spirit, to build ourselves up in our relationship with God. And he helps us also by giving us the church, the body, to fellowship with one another, to grow. We learn from each other, we encourage each other, and we help sharpen each other. Amen? So it's not a one or the other, it's a both and or all and that we're invited to. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray in the Spirit at all times and be alert. And we talked about this a little bit last week. Like, we need to be alert and understand what's going on spiritually in our lives, in our families. What are our kids facing? What's going on in culture? How do we pray as a church for our community to be saved? What's happening spiritually, even in this area, that we know and understand strongholds and understand how do we intercede? How do we pray? Amen? Romans 8:26, we talked about this a little bit, that the Holy Spirit helps us to know what to pray when we don't know what to pray. And he prays with us and through us. And again, this whole idea of groaning and crying out, because sometimes we just don't even know how to express what needs to be said. And the cool thing is that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying his will. We can't go wrong. It'd be fun in some ways to dive into a little bit with, like, just think about the concept of your tongue and how we love to have control, and we love, you know, the tongue gets us into all kinds of trouble. And I think it's the sense of humor of the Lord to actually use this gift through us speaking in tongues and having literally not understanding what we're saying. And some people say, well, it looks so silly, and maybe that's even part of it. I don't know. It's like, will you surrender? And so we looked a bit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, again, how Paul addressed. When we hear criticism about speaking in tongues, many times people use these scriptures and say, well, Paul was saying not everyone would speak in tongues, but he's directly talking about a situation in that church and in the communal, where church comes together in the body, where people were speaking over top of each other in tongues. Remember last week how we got several people up here and spoke in their own native language, right? One at a time, and then all of them at the same time, and it's chaos. Did anybody learn to understand anything? No, of course not, right? And it's chaos and that's what was happening in the church, is that people were speaking in tongues over top of each other. And it was a little bit like this pride, arrogance thing where, look what I can do. And so someone would be speaking in tongues, and then they begin to speak in tongues. And it was absolute chaos for anybody coming into the church that didn't know the Lord. It's like, what is going on? And that would be the same today. And so Paul is addressing that and saying, is everyone gifted to speak in tongues in the public, in the body as a prophetic word? No. And if someone does give a word in tongues, they should interpret it, right? That should happen. And that's no different today. Sometimes I've heard people say too that, well, I just couldn't help it. Like, I just felt. No, Paul even says that you can control yourself. God is a God of order. And so there are times we just need to zip it. And that's why many times in churches you see when some of these gifts really are a part of an ongoing thing on Sunday mornings or gatherings, you will have someone who is responsible to actually weigh those words before they're released to help bring order and not just a bunch of chaos. And that was Paul's heart, is that, again, the idea is when we gather, we grow and we encourage each other and we sharpen each other. And so he's not saying that the gift shouldn't be used. In fact, he goes on in 1 Corinthians 14 to say, I pray you'd all pray in the Holy Spirit or pray in tongues. And he says, I pray that more than all of you. And so he's not saying that not everyone can or should, except for in the public setting. But privately, we're called to walk in this gift. We're invited to it. And again, my heart in all of this is to invite you to be open to what the Bible says and to seek him. Don't do it for my sake. Don't do it because the denomination says it should look like this. But read the Bible and do your best to say, God, what do you have for me? Jesus told, and this is another thing I want to point out, like in John 20, verse 22, Jesus breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit. He filled them, right? And that is symbolic of salvation. And he said to those same guys, go and wait for the Holy Spirit to be filled. And so we see this pattern from that, and we see how in Acts 10 with Cornelius, and how in Acts 19, again, people were saved, and that's a requirement for this, right? For any gift of the Spirit, is that we have salvation first. And then he equips us to go and do what we're called to do, which is make disciples. And I want to really, really be clear about this over and over, because I really, sometimes people have gone into the weeds with this, but a gift from the Lord is not a badge that we wear that says, look what I can do. It's not something that makes you more spiritual than anyone else. You're not more saved or more forgiven. That is not the whole point at all. But it is a tool to help you to grow in your relationship with God and to reach other people. Character is way more important than any gifting. And I want everyone to understand that, because sometimes we so go after some of these things and we forget that our character needs to come along with it. If we're going to use gifts, we better have some character. And we see the mess today in the church and outside the church of what happens when character doesn't matter. And it's saddening to see how people are exalted. They are qualified in a lot of people's mind by gifting and not by character. And they're lifted up on pedestals way before their character can match the kind of attention they get. And it's dangerous. And we see it in local churches too, where people try and assume authority and power because of a gift they flow in and not character. And that's dangerous. So please don't elevate anything like that. You know, I really believe this, that miracles, signs, and wonders were affirmed Jesus and the gospel. Nobody else. And I believe that's still true today. Miracles, signs, and wonders affirm the truth of who Jesus was and the gospel, but they do not affirm the person praying for someone or seeing the healing or any of that. You get that? Those miracles are to bring glory to God, not to the person. Those signs and wonders that God performs at times through us is to bring glory to him and to affirm that the gospel is true, that Jesus died and rose again. He conquered sickness, he conquered death, and he conquered all of it so that we could have salvation and freedom, that there is a kingdom that is coming that's not fully here yet, and that is part of the mystery of the gospel, isn't it, in this world. Jesus came, and he proclaimed the kingdom, and then he healed the sick and raised the dead. And so he showed us that this is what's coming, because in heaven, there's no sickness and there's no disease. And yet, we still live not fully in that kingdom, right? And that's the mystery we have to navigate. And so there's invitation to step into some of that, but yet we still die. We still see suffering. We still see pain as a result of sin, right? But one day, there'll be no pain. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. There'll be no death. Amen? You guys with me? And so I think this is important that we have to wrestle out. And so it grieves my heart so often when I see people coming against gifts that the Lord has given. Because as much as it's not a badge and it's not something that elevates someone, Paul said, eagerly desire the gifts. And I believe that is a call from the word and a call from the Lord for all of us forever. Eagerly desire the gifts. They're here for you. They're not something you earn or deserve, but it's an empowerment that the Lord gives us, again, to accomplish what he's called us to do, and that's to make disciples. And so, you know, I would just encourage you that speaking in tongues is not a Pentecostal thing, it's not a denominational thing, it's a scriptural thing. Right? That's what the gifts are. I think I mentioned this last week, but I've been in many, many different countries, and everywhere else I've been other than North America, every denomination that I've been part of anything with them, they all speak in tongues. It's more a North American thing here where it's like, and it's weird. It shouldn't be that. This is not a denominational thing, it's a scripture thing. I mentioned last week how I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, began to speak in tongues at 8 years old, lying in bed. All right, sometimes we build up all these rules and things that this is how it has to happen and this is how it has to work. Well, I saw my mom praying in tongues, and I went to bed on my own and said, Lord, would you give me what my mom has? I didn't know all the theological rules or guidelines or anything, and I began to speak in tongues and lying in bed. I quit using the gift, okay? And I shared part of this before, and that's the importance of not stopping using the gift. I don't know how many people I've ran into. Yeah, I had this wonderful encounter once. I spoke in tongues. Great. Have you kept using it? No, that was 10 years ago. And it's like, oh. And so it's not about, again, something where you just check off the list. Like, yeah, been there, done that. I experienced that once. That was cool. Pray for someone that got healed. That was great. But it's something we're invited to go after every day, day in and day out, to help us to grow, to help build our faith, to help build the faith of others. And so, you know, when I was at a Lutheran Holy Spirit Renewal Conference, Lutheran, okay, not Pentecostal, another denomination. And we were in the States, and they prayed for me to receive again because that was something on my heart. I was having an encounter with the Lord. I was hungry. I was desperate. I was like 12, 13 years old, and I began to speak in tongues again. And ever since then, it's just something that, you know, you practice, you use. It's like an Olympian, right? They train, they work hard. If you don't work at that gifting, whatever it is, you weaken in it. You stay sharp in your tools you have by using them over and over and over again. If you want to grow in things like the prophetic, you practice. You take the time to say, Lord, help me to hear you. It's good, Paul. It's good, yeah. And again, we mentioned this a little bit. What makes us unique as Pentecostals is our viewpoint that when the Holy Spirit came on people that we saw in Acts, one of the initial signs was that they spoke in tongues. Okay? And again, we reference that as a pattern that we see in the book of Acts. People were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. If you look at a lot of charismatic teaching today, they will say it differently. They'll just say that you receive the Holy Spirit and the baptism at salvation. Whereas Pentecostals, we look at Scripture and say, we believe, yes, you fully receive the Holy Spirit, but there's a subsequent encounter where you're empowered to go to being a witness like what Jesus said. And that's just a simple distinctive. Would I make that a hill to die on? Not at all. Okay? But that is teaching that's out there where charismatics will say you're fully baptized and then down the road, the Holy Spirit manifests gifts in you as he chooses. I think the main thing is that we agree that we are invited to have subsequent encounters with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that he gives us gifts, that he empowers us, that he equips us. We need that in order to walk out the life, like in what it said in 2 Peter, that he's given us all that we need by his divine power to live out the life of godliness. And so we need that. We need that communion, that abiding with him. And I really believe that we're called to seek those encounters with the Lord where he empowers us to go and do more. The real reason, or when I look at Scripture for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, again, was to fill us with a boldness and a courage and power to go and be witnesses. So many people have turned it into this wonderful, I can't wait for the next experience that I have where I get to just enjoy it, get the goosebumps, and go home. You're missing the point then. It should transform you so that you have a greater passion to reach the lost. And as soon as we twist that kind of stuff and say it's all about an encounter or it's all about, you know, even, and I will pick on charismatics and all of us too, Pentecostals, like sometimes it's all about can we fall on the floor, can we laugh, all that kind of stuff. Listen, I don't chase that stuff. If God wants to do it, great. Because I definitely know that some of that is very real when he touches our heart. It's like if you and I were all to walk up and touch the power in that electric socket, some might yell, some might whatever. But when you're zapped with his power, you will sometimes act differently. But you might not, and that's okay. It's not about the outward, it's about what's going on in here. And sometimes we worship these, like the miracle or the manifestation, and that's yuck, don't do it. Worship the one who did the miracle. Okay? And so there's a danger there that we can get into when it becomes all about, well, if it doesn't look like that, there's something wrong, like God's not there. No. Okay? It's about character. It's about a change in heart. And it should be empowering you. You should be changing your heart to have a passion for your neighbor and your friend and the person you work with that doesn't know Jesus. And if it's not, then we have to ask the question, okay, what's going on, Lord? Because my heart should burn for the lost. And this is my question for North American church. Is why do we not see more people coming to the Lord? Why do we not see a greater passion to reach the lost? Well, I think it's because many people have gotten afraid of what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Many people have been afraid of the gifts. There's been confusion. There's been fighting. And we've pushed away from a lot of that stuff. And again, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and fill you with power to go and be my witness. So we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit, not a fear. And don't worry about all the outward stuff. Let him change your heart. And we're people. We just build things up. We mess things up sometimes instead of just trusting God and going with it. But he wants to give you good gifts so that you can change the world. And I really do believe that the New Testament presents enough evidence for all of us to be filled or to expect to be filled and encounter the Lord subsequent to our salvation. I believe that there's invitation, like in Ephesians 5, it says be filled. And that talks about, again, being filled over and over and over again. The more you pour out, the more you need to be filled. The more you're going through, you know, there are seasons in your marriage or with kids or with grandkids or whatever at work that are frustrating, that are hard, that you're feeling weary and wore down. And in those moments, that's when you need more of spending time with the Lord. You need more of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You need those times of refreshing where you get on your face and say, God, I've been up against it a lot. I'm feeling like I'm facing a mountain or a giant right now. And those are the moments we need to get on our face and find those times of refreshing with the Lord. So he can fill us, so he can equip us, so that we can get up and keep going and press through and not be taken out. And again, this is all with the backdrop of how do we mature? How do we grow? Because it's so easy to just coast, do what's easy. I don't feel like it today. I'm going to watch football. There's nothing wrong with watching football, but your relationship with God matters more. And if you're facing it at work and you're facing it in your marriage, and then you just zone out with your spirit and start filling it with whatever, even if it's not terrible things, it's going to matter soon, because you start to weaken, you start to fall away, you start to be distracted. You guys with me? And so the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring us under the lordship of Christ. He doesn't force us, but he invites us. And literally millions of people have invited or have experienced these gifts throughout church history. You can look even, I love the evidence you see in the lives of the disciples from when they, before, and then when after the day of Pentecost, when they're filled, they are changed people. And it's like a light bulb or a switch went off in them, and all of a sudden they are filled with boldness and they go after it. And they go after people and say, well, you need to know Jesus. You can look in church history at people like D.L. Moody. He has a cool story if you've never read it, you know, where it talks about how there was a few older ladies in his church that said, we're praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he kept saying, well, I received the Holy Spirit at salvation. And they're like, yeah, but you need to be filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so they kept praying for him. And one day he was reading the scripture and he's like, yeah, there is more that I should be seeking here. And he went to them, he got filled. And he talks about how he preached the exact same sermon at somewhere the next week that he had preached before, the exact same one. And people began to encounter God and get healed and get saved under the conviction of the Holy Spirit because something changed. And then this is the guy, when you read about him, it's wild stories. He would walk into a factory and people would fall over under the glory of God. They would come running because they felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You can read about it with Finney, Charles Finney, and many others like that in church history, how the empowerment of the Holy Spirit helped them to bring souls into the kingdom. And that's what we're called to do. Will it always look like a Dwight Moody or a Charles Finney? No. But he will be real to you and he will move in your life. And I really, really, really believe this, that he will not leave you out and not leave you without if you ask him. We talked a little bit last week about 1 Corinthians 13, that, you know, many cessationists will argue that the gifts passed away with one of two things, either the fulfillment of the full canon of Scripture or the establishment of the early church. And that's not, you know, that's just not what Paul is talking about there. The gifts, we will not see perfectly. We will not, until Jesus returns, we need those gifts to build the church. And that's what Paul's referring to, is when Jesus comes again, then there's no need to prophesy because he's here. And we have the complete full view of Christ and all that he is. Amen? Until then, we see in part. We know in part, right? And so there is this need. Until Christ comes, we have a need for these gifts. We're called to build the church. The Holy Spirit is helping us to establish the church to be the bride of Christ when he returns. And so until that happens, we need these gifts to accomplish that. Again, I believe in the authority of Scripture and the truth of Scripture, and that's why I believe that the gifts that we see outlined in Scripture are for today and are something that we, like Paul said, are to eagerly desire. Not to hoard over someone or lord over them and say, look what I can do, but to humbly use to try and build the kingdom and our walk with him. I'm called to abide and to know God. And having a personal prayer language is a wonderful tool that I can use to help with that. I haven't looked into a bunch of these, but there are even some fun medical studies that you can look at that they've experimented a bit with people that are speaking in tongues. And I'd like to look into it more to see what all has been done. But I read about three. The New York Times, they studied 1,000 evangelicals speaking in tongues and reported that those who speak in tongues have fewer mental disorders than those who don't. The University of Pennsylvania Neuroscience Department did a study on the frontal lobe, which is the area that controls the speech of a person's life, okay, the frontal lobe. And when praying in English, that the frontal lobe was firing and active. But when praying in tongues, all activity in the frontal lobe went dormant. And it's interesting because just like when Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14, he said, praying in tongues comes from the Spirit, not our mind. It's really interesting. Carl Peterson at ORU did a study on praying in tongues, and his conclusion of research that if you pray in tongues consistently for extended periods of time, not just a sentence or two here and there, but he found that those who did that, who spent time praying in tongues consistently, that person's immunity was boosted about 35 to 40%. Apparently, praying in tongues actually impacts the hypothalamus, which is where your immune system is centered. So, it's interesting. So here's what I want to end with today. How do you receive? How do you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? How are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? How do you receive gifts like speaking in tongues? You ask. It's not even a trick question. We spent some time earlier this year in Luke chapter 11. And just remember that Luke 11, verses 11 to 13, Jesus talks about how you earthly fathers, if your children ask for fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think this is really, really key for you to receive from him. You need to have an understanding of who the Father is and how good he is and how much he loves you, that he will never leave you, that he wants to give you all that you need to succeed. He doesn't want to hold things back. Many times I've had people ask, well, how do I know that I'm going to get the real thing or say the right thing? Well, do you trust him? He's a good father. And if you're truly seeking him, he's going to get you there. I think about my kids, and I think about the joy as a dad that I get when I watch them open a gift that they've been waiting for at Christmas, and their face lights up, and they're so pumped. And there's something about that, you guys, that it's, you know, you have to understand the Father loves us. He loves you. And he wants you to have that experience with him to understand how deep and how high and how wide his love is for you. And he loves it when we get those moments of encounter, when we surrender to him. He's waiting for us to come to him. He's waiting for us to say yes to him so that he can pour into us, so that he can fill us, so that it'll help us to grow. That's good. That's good preaching right there. I'll encourage myself. God wants to give us the authentic. He's not going to trick you. Okay? And I think a lot of people have fear that somehow they're going to miss it. No, God is good. He loves you. If you're seeking him, you're going to find him. Proverbs 25:2 said, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search it out." God doesn't hide things from us, but for us. He wants you, as you seek him, to find him. And again, this is so that we can participate in that divine nature, to grow, to be empowered to reach the lost. He wants us, like his desire is that we have walk in all that he has paid for on the cross. If you think about this, most miracles have two parts. One part that God plays, and one part that we play. God does the hard, heavy lifting, and we usually just have to come into agreement. Okay? But think about this. Like the person that had to fill the jar with water in John 2, when he turned water into wine. Somebody had to go get it. When someone was invited to go wash in the pool to be healed, they had to get in the pool. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God enables us and fills us to speak a new language. Guess what our part is? Speak. You know what's cool is that gifts like that is something that God enables any of us to do, is we just learn and receive in faith. I invited you guys to give me feedback or ask questions about this last week. And one comment I got was that the fear of man holds a lot of people back. And I really, you know, when I asked the Lord about that, I was like, so what do you say about the fear of man? And I just felt again like God said, it's a lack of understanding my love that leads to fear of man. 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. And again, so much of what we receive from the Lord hinges on our understanding of our identity in him and who he is to us. And a lot of people have had earthly examples of fathers that have treated us poorly. And when we think of God the Father, we have a hard time trusting him that he actually loves us perfectly and unconditionally. That he actually wants absolutely what's best for you today. But he does. I read that in the Aramaic, it can be translated that fear is suspicious. And so we pull back in fear, we suspect, we're worried, we don't trust. And again, out of Ephesians 3, Paul said he prayed that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, and then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So knowing his love opens the door for you to receive all that he has for you. It comes back to some of the basics. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And he so loves you that he'll give you all that you need to succeed in the life of godliness that he's called you to, so that you can partake in that divine nature, so that you can learn to walk in the kingdom that he is welcoming us into as his children. He won't leave you out. 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed. Another version says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the gifts. And so I really am just trying to be obedient to the Lord in this, in spending a few weeks in trying to bring clarity and hopefully invite you to wrestle with this a little bit with your walk with the Lord. I believe that for us to mature, we need to go after all that he has for us. Does it mean that sometimes we make mistakes and, you know, don't get it always right? Yeah, absolutely, of course. Part of this is it's a little messy. It's a journey of learning, God, how do I submit to you and trust in you and walk in this? But it's fun to be able to hear God's voice. And it's fun to just have that direction when he leads you. I don't know how many times, you know, you go to pray for someone and they say, how did you know that? I didn't know it. But the Holy Spirit dropped something in here and I just went with it. And those are the kind of things that come out of intimacy with him. God will give you ideas how to speak to your kids. I've been praying for my kids. There's things in our life that I'm like, Lord, I don't know how to discipline them. I don't know how to address this issue in their heart. But he helps. I don't know, like, and I think of people like Bob. Every time I look at him, I think of how the Holy Spirit can give people creative ideas and to do business. That's a gift. That's a blessing that, you know, that God speaks to us. And we need that relationship with the Holy Spirit to hear him so that we obey. Because it's not easy to be like, well, I'll just open a business. You know, you need that direction. So if I were to say this, I think that the primary use of tongues is what Paul described as a personal prayer language for you to build yourself up in the Lord. And so it's referred to as something as like prayer. Paul also talks about how singing in the Spirit is something that he would do. So you can worship in tongues, you can pray in tongues. Paul talks about giving thanks in the Spirit. And so you can pray, you can praise, and you can give thanks. And again, it's part of a gift to help you abide with Jesus. Please don't make it anything that it's not. Some people ask, does it have to always be in an earthly language? I don't think so. Cessationists will argue and say, well, the first time it happened in Acts 2, they spoke in other languages. Absolutely, they did. But the primary use of that gift is not for the salvation of others. It's to edify yourself. And so there's these different things that people bring up. They argue about, we have to be careful not to get pulled away. If you look at through Scripture, in the rest of the examples of when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, from what we can tell, there's no evidence that they always spoke another language from earth. Paul talks about the language of angels. I think personally that we receive our own heavenly language. But if it is Chinese or Aramaic or whatever, that's cool too. Doesn't matter. Paul says that when we speak in tongues, you won't understand. I read somewhere that nobody on earth has a great grasp of language other than about 100 out of the 3,000 earthly languages. So you might be speaking an earthly language and not know it anyway. I don't even feel like that's a thing worth arguing about. Does God give people earthly languages through the gift of tongues? Absolutely. I just don't think it's the primary use. There's many stories, of missionaries going to other countries and it being documented how they showed up, began to pray in tongues, and people understood what they were saying. But there's also stories of people going to try and do that because they thought, well, that's how this works, and then couldn't speak the language. Okay? Does it happen? Yeah. I shared this story, I think, in the past several times where when we went to Brazil with the youth, and there was a lady I met there, was one of the translators. She had never been taught a word of English in her life. But when she was baptized in the Holy Spirit, she fully understood English and has been a translator ever since. That's cool. But is that the norm? No. Is that the primary use of that gift? No. I was listening to some podcasts this last week, and they're interviewing a guy about the speaking in tongues, and both the guys talking to him had experiences where they were praying in tongues and someone was there that knew Portuguese, or I forget what the other language was, but they were speaking in other languages and it encouraged those people. Great, wonderful. But it's not necessary for you to commune with God, to speak to him, and to pray in tongues and to be edified yourself. So example, in Acts 10, was there evidence of there being unbelievers there? It says with Cornelius that the whole household got saved. There was no need there to speak in German or Chinese or whatever because there was nobody else there. There was no need to speak in another language, earthly language. But if you need an earthly language, God will give it to you. So don't stress over some of that stuff. Just understand that it is a language for you to grow in your walk with God. First Corinthians 14:1 says, again, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts. And that's a command from the Lord. I don't think that ever changes until he comes again. I think too, people often have brought up, well, what about church history? Where do we see this happening? Well, in the first 400 to 500 years, you can study church fathers and there's different writings about people speaking in tongues and how the different gifts, they never disappeared. And then there's a season when the Roman Catholic Church rose in culture, and they took away, what happened was it became the priest's job to do the ministry. And there was also, nobody had a Bible in their own language. And so there was a whole season there where we don't have a lot of evidence or just things written down because we just didn't have access to it. It wasn't until Gutenberg in the 15th century where Christians had a Bible in their own language. So they couldn't read about Corinthians or Acts even on their own. They couldn't read that was even available to them. But there definitely are still reports of healing and prophecy and tongues, especially in groups that had split from the Catholic Church. There's groups, you can read about the Moravians who prayed 24/7, and it talks about how they spoke in tongues all the time. There's a lot of different documented stuff in some of the revivals, like John Wesley, and into the 18th and 19th century, where they became very common. And so We just need to remember when we study church history that until the printing press came along, we didn't have a lot of understanding we didn't know what was happening in small groups and churches and home groups and all that kind of stuff because we just didn't have it written down. It doesn't mean that they disappeared. I think a lot of the division over some of these things are just not necessary and they're not God's heart. So I want to just invite, Renee, do you mind playing something on the piano for a bit? And I just want to invite you, take a few moments and to pray. And maybe you already operate in some of these gifts, great. Ask him to fill you today. And maybe you're like, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit or I've never received any of these gifts. I want to make that opportunity for you to just be able to pray with you. This is not something we get stressed or weirded out about. It's just we invite him to come. It's very rare that I don't pray in tongues every day. And it's a gift. It's a language that I've learned to use. And I've even noticed at times that the Lord changes what I'm praying because I can tell I'm using words or sounds I've never used before. And many times it's just, what's going on in here, Lord? I just trust you that I'm praying according to your will. And what I have found is that when I pray in tongues, I become aware of his presence. I find many times that as I pray in tongues, my mind becomes very clear and I begin to think and I begin to hear from him. And so as I meditate on scripture, I'm not just like zoning out or, you know, I remember when I went to Manitoba and it was a very Mennonite background and some of them there have been taught that tongues and those kind of gifts or being slain in the spirit was like you're literally inviting the demonic in to take over. And it's like, no, okay? It's not like some new agey thing either where I'm emptying my mind out. No, I'm filling my mind. I'm meditating on the Lord. But I'm praying from here, not here. But I've often found that as I pray in tongues, he speaks to me, gives me insight into things. He shows me things, shows me what to pray. And then I start to partner with that. And like Paul said, I pray in English or I pray in known language and I pray in tongues. I sing in known languages and I sing in the spirit. And it's the same thing. You flip-flop back and forth. It's like those of you who have multiple languages that you know well. My dad, he fumbles up lots as he's been around people from Denmark because he starts talking in Danish and then half English. And there's just that because we learn to start engage our spirit and it's a language we just flow in. Hope I'm making sense. I just want to invite you into all that God has for you. And I hope that this has helped clarify some things. If you have questions, please, 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 let me know. I happily would sit down and look at scripture together, pray with you. I believe that God is inviting us to grow. And he wants us to have a passion for our community right outside these walls. And I need every bit of help that I can get to reach them. And I know as a church that we need to grow and sharpen and encourage each other. And to do that effectively, I believe that we need to operate in some of these gifts, all of them. I don't think one person will operate in them all the time, but he says he really desires them all. You'll find that there's areas that you're really strong in compared to others. Some of you may find the prophetic really easy. Some of you may find, interpretation or discernment or some of those things really easy to you. That's okay. But ask for them all. This is where you get to be like the kid at the candy store and just be like, I'd like some of all of it. You're going to find that you navigate, that you operate in some easier and better than others. That's okay. So why don't we just do this? Why don't you just take your hands, stick them in front of you? And even before Renee plays, actually, let's just have a moment of silence. And I want you to ask the Lord to show you how much he loves you as a good father. And just ask him to fill you with whatever you need today. And if there's things on your heart, just begin to talk to him. So we'll just be okay with some awkward silence for a minute, because I want to allow the Father to speak to you. I don't want any distraction. Lord, we're doing our best to follow you, to follow Scripture. And Lord, we want all that you have paid for on the cross. We want to operate in everything that you've given us and that's available to us as your kids, so that we can be effective, that we can see the most amount of fruit in our lives and as a church possible. God, you've called us to this place for such a time as this. And I pray, Lord, that we would have a greater impact on our community and surrounding area. And Lord, even those that watch online, I just pray, Jesus, that you would help us to be fruitful in what we do. And of course, church isn't just about a Sunday morning. It's about every day of the week. As we leave from here, we are the church. And I pray that you'd help us to operate in the gifts you've given us, so that we can draw close to you and that we can lead others to you. And so, God, I pray that we would operate in things like words of knowledge, that we would know that something's going on, that we would operate in discernment, that we would operate in the prophetic, that we could help people, Lord, lead people to you because of knowing things that we couldn't know without you. And I pray, Lord, that we'd operate in things like the gift of tongues. I pray, God, that we would embrace these gifts. It's gifts that you've given us to draw close to you and to help others. And so help us, God. And I pray that where there's been misunderstanding or fear or confusion or, you know, any of that, abuse, because there has been. People have abused these gifts. People have used it for their own gain and their own fame. But I just pray, God, that you would help us to see clearly and have a revelation of what you're calling us to do and how you're calling us to step into these things in our life and in our church. God, not so that we can be cool or look a certain way, but because, God, we want your heart for the lost, and we want to be effective. And so I just pray for a download of understanding and revelation from you in these areas. God, that if there's any uneasiness in our hearts, Lord, that you would help us to see and remind us, God, of your love, your good, your perfect, unconditional love, that you will not give us anything that's harmful. You will not confuse us. You will not deceive us. You will not trick us. But Lord, as we seek you with all of our heart, we will find you. And God, that we are invited to receive, just like you said, it says in Acts 2:39 that this was a gift, this was a promise for even the Gentiles, and then again for all who God calls, all who are far off, that's us. And so Lord, we want to step into all that you've given us, all that you've promised us. Because your promises are yes and amen. And I really believe for each one of us today that just like Charles Finney said in the 1800s, that he encountered waves and waves and waves of liquid honey love. I really believe that is really God's main desire, is that we would understand his perfect love today. That we'd receive it, that we'd experience it like Paul prayed, that we'd actually know it, not just in our heads, but in our being. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give us a heart for the lost. I ask that you give us a passion to make disciples. And Lord, a desire to grow and mature. So I pray for a change in our hearts. I pray that there be no fear of man. I pray there be no fear of failure. I pray there be no belief that we're not good enough, that we don't have what it takes, that we could never operate in those things, or we're not spiritual enough to hear from you, or all the stuff that the enemy tries to lie about. I just pray that you would bring clarity and revelation and understanding. And I ask today, God, that you would fill us. Jesus, you are the baptizer. You're the one that John the Baptist talked about, who would come and baptize us with fire. And so I'm asking for each one of us, Lord, that you would, if it's something that anyone here desires, that you would baptize us with fire. You would fill us to the overflow. That you would equip us and strengthen us to do what you've called us to do. God, that we would mature and grow as your children. So I just want to invite you. I want to open the altar. One of the things that we see in Scripture is that, you know, the disciples, the apostles, they prayed for people. They laid hands on and they prayed for them to be filled. And if that's something that you desire, I'd love to just be able to open the altar to spend time praying with you today. Does it mean that you can't just receive that gift sitting there? No, I received it lying in bed. Okay? But it's just something we see practiced in Scripture, that they laid hands and they received. And there's an impartation several times in Scripture. It talks about fanning the flame or walking in the gifting that they received when they placed hands on them and prayed. And so there's something about that in Scripture too. So we just follow that example. And many times I've seen when we just begin to pray together that he comes and he fills. And so my prayer today is that if you've had fear in this area, that fear would go, and you'd at least begin to explore Scripture, not based on what any denomination has taught, because I don't think that denominations always get it right. Ours included. There's just sometimes we're not perfect. But read the Bible and do your best to receive from Him. And I encourage you just to take a few moments here on, you know, even on your own. Just listen to what the Father has to say to you today. Ask Him to fill you with His love. Because there you can't get enough of that. You can't. And it's so good. And it changes your heart. And it changes the way you think. And it melts away fear. It melts away confusion. So please don't be in a rush. But if you have to go, when you're ready, God bless you. Have an amazing day.